Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
Now, we've been looking at my little mini-series, One Way to Apostasy, via Christian magazines. Actually, it's turned into a pretty a long mini-series, but that's okay. There's so much information to cover. And I hope today to wrap up the first magazine of the four that I'm going to be examining. Now, Charisma is the magazine we've been looking at, and this is a little review over the last several weeks of what we've been looking at. This is a list, really, of some of the false teachers and prophets and various spiritually toxic individuals and organizations that are promoted either through advertising or through stories that are written, articles that are written, I should say, in the magazine. So let me go through this list for you. We looked at Doug Batchelor and the his group, the Seventh-day Adventists, actually. They don't make that well known in their ads, but in their ad for the Amazing Facts TV program that Doug Batchelor heads up. Jonathan Cahn, the sensationalist author of books like The Harbinger and Shemitah, etc., that have been so popular among many within Christendom, within the evangelical church. Randy Clark, who was involved with the Toronto Blessing and other so-called impartation revivals, where the Holy Spirit is supposedly taking up space, coming into the town and setting up shop for a while, the Holy Spirit moving around the country and the world and imparting all kinds of bizarre things, purportedly coming from God's Holy Spirit. Then Bill Johnson of the Bethel Church of Reading, and you talk about multiple heresies and seducing spirits, doctrines of demons going on in that church. We've already looked at some of that. We only scratched the surface. But then moving on, Kenneth Copeland, he's been around forever. He has claimed to has risen about $1 billion for the cause of Kenneth Copeland, really, but supposedly for the cause of Christ and the gospel. Again, multiple heresies and that he's been engaged in promoting. Roma Downey and Mark Burnett, in their Bible Made for TV series that was featured in one of the Charismas that we talked about, went into some depth concerning her and her connection with Della Reese. Steve Hill, the evangelist for the Brownsville Revival, another impartation of seducing spirits and doctrines of demons in down in Florida, then in Pensacola, Florida, that is, and Mike Bickle of the IHOP organization in Kansas City, Missouri, the International House of Prayer. Now, this is just a sample from a few of Charisma's older issues that I had, you know, saved over the years. I had others, but these are the ones that I chose to examine more closely. So, you know, you can imagine all that they have promoted over the years. That magazine's been around for many years. And I guess, you know, the old saying, you know, so many heretics, so little time. Or I don't know if that's an old saying, but I've kind of revised that saying. But wait, there's more. There's another old saying you've probably heard, you know, as that ad goes. And there is more. And so I'm going to be closing out looking at two of their recent issues. And so you can see for yourself, really, that nothing ever really changes at Charisma. Even though on occasions they have tried to convey, a concern for biblical discernment, or at least that's what they're trying to convey. They're trying to convey that they have a concern against false teaching and errors in the church and all these different things. It's really a kind of an oxymoron here. But anyway, the recent issues that I want to look at are the September 2017 and the October 2017 issues. Now, in the September 2017 issue, the cover story is, again, Jonathan Cahn. And the cover, you know, The Paradigm, a new book he has out. I actually started this series with the magazine that I examined had the Doug Batchelor advertisement. And then the first story that I looked at in the magazines that I'd chosen was Jonathan Kahn's article at that time, promoting his book at that time, which was The Harbinger. I believe that was the first in the books that he's written. But it could have also included the Shemitah. I can't remember at this point. But I just thought that that was kind of fitting that I'm closing out the Charisma magazine to show you, you know, that magazine was around 2014. And so he's still going strong, and Charisma is still a partner in crime, I guess you could say. And, you know, I think I pointed out before, I will now if I didn't, that Kahn has appeared on many of the Christian TV talk shows that I personally wouldn't be caught dead on if I was invited to be on them, because I'm more concerned, you know, about my testimony and my witness. So I wouldn't want to be identified with any of these folks. People like Jim Baker, Sid Roth, Pat Robertson, TBN program, of course, Daystar Network. These are all what I really like to call the usual suspects. You can just know that if you watch any of these programs, you're going to have all kinds of weird, bizarre guests and topics and false prophecies and all kinds of crazy things going on. Now, I believe I also started when I had started this series, and I had looked at that first magazine with Jonathan Kahn. I believe I had used a critique written by the Study, Grow, Know blog, which I have found to be very helpful on a number of topics. And the author does not give his name, so he's anonymous, but I recommend his website. He has some great information and topics. But anyway, this is the same man who, interestingly enough, as I was preparing to do today's episode or podcast, I was Googling Jonathan Kahn. I wanted to, you know, I was looking for a little bit of information, and up on the Google it popped Study, Grow, Know, and I said, oh, yeah, wait a minute, and I clicked on it, and so it was just, I felt like the Lord blessing me once again with a really nice critique, once again, closing out on these Charisma magazines studies that I've been doing with another Jonathan Kahn book critique, a review by the people over at Study, Grow, Know. Now, the eye-catching cover title on this magazine, the September 2017 issue, says, "Has Jonathan Kahn uncovered the master blueprint of our times? The paradigm will reveal it." You know, so that's the eye catcher that they have that grabs your attention on this magazine. And the critique that I just mentioned, I wanted to read a little bit from it. Very well written. Title is Jonathan Kahn's The Paradigm. It says, Rabbi Kahn continues to give us more of the same. With Kahn, everything is always a mystery. Sounds a little bit like, you know, Sid Roth's Supernatural. But anyway, that he has apparently been fortunate enough to be able to finally unravel and reveal. His first was The Harbinger, a fictional account of the alleged connection between the United States and Israel. Since then, Kahn has given us the mystery of the Shemitah, and a number of others. They all portend to reveal things about America's interconnection with Israel. He says, I've written several articles critiquing Jonathan Kahn's books and theology, as have others, and you can read them at this link. And of course, I will just refer you to the Study, Grow, Know site for the Jonathan Kahn's Paradigm book review, and then you can get this link yourself, since reading it off to you would probably be it would probably be difficult, maybe not so helpful to you. But anyway, I would recommend this, as these are some of the other critiques that he's done that I found very helpful. And I'm just blessed that the Lord allowed me to find this current critique. The unfortunate aspect of Jonathan Kahn's books is that even though he's wrong time and time again, people continue to purchase his books, likely because they don't want to risk missing the time when he might be correct. Kahn always gives himself an out regarding the things he writes about. They are dependent to some degree on how people respond to them, so in that sense, they may or may not come to pass. Numerous individuals today who purport to reveal God's secrets do much the same thing. So they're never really wrong, even when they're wrong. In the paradigm, Jonathan Kahn is essentially doing the same thing he did in The Harbinger and The Mystery of the Shemitah, though the setting is different and based more on historical information. In Paradigm, Kahn tries to establish this idea that a model has existed since before time, and that model provides the answers for everything. And he says that's his paraphrase, the man who wrote this article. These are some of the phrases. Is it possible that there exists an ancient master blueprint that holds the secret behind the events of our times? Could this blueprint lie behind the rise and fall of leaders and governments? Could events that took place nearly 3,000 years ago now be determining the course of our world and with it the course of our lives? Could ancient figures from the Middle East hold the key to the leaders of our own day, what they do when they rise and when they fall? Is it possible even that this ancient paradigm has determined not only the events of modern times, but also their timing, even down to the exact dates? Could a mystery from the ancient Middle East have foretold the outcome of current events more accurately than any poll or expert, even the outcomes of presidential elections? Has this mystery even touched the events of your life? Does the paradigm reveal what will take place in the future? And does it contain a warning critical for every person in this generation? That's all from Jonathan Kahn's, you know, book, all the hype that he promoted the book with. This author says, this reminds me of any book written by Dan Brown, the man that wrote The Da Vinci Code. And I would have to add that my reading this, what it really reminded me of is just about every episode of the Ancient Aliens, you know, the UFO series on the History Channel. Every time I've ever watched that, and I watch it from time to time, whoever's speaking will usually be saying, is it possible? Could it be that? And, you know, it's always this interlinked conspiratorial, you know, could it be? Might it be? You know, it just sounds so much like the same type of stuff that you would get from that series. Anyway, he goes on in his article, the truth is that there is no connection between Israel and America, none, yet for those caught up into some aspect of the dominionist movement, they will continue to make that connection while God allowed the USA to come into existence. He specifically created Israel for his salvific purposes, in other words, for his salvation purposes. God specifically set out and chose Israel with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as its root ball, so to speak, compare Romans chapters 9 through 11, to bring forth a Savior in Jesus who would become the sacrificial lamb that provides salvation for all who will come to him in faith, believing that he is God the Son who bore our sins so that we do not have to suffer the consequences of those sins. Expressing our faith in his redemptive work on our benefit grants us salvation, our eternal life. Through it, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit and enter in relationship with Jesus, God the Son. Now, on the next page of the review, he says, what is said of Israel cannot be said of the United States of America or any other country, even though there were numerous countries or empires throughout history whose leaders and armies were expressly used by God to bring judgment to Israel during their repeated times of idolatry and rebellion against God. This will occur in the future as well, as we read throughout Ezekiel, Daniel, Revelation, and other portions of God's Word. It would be far easier, more accurate, but certainly far less exciting, if Jonathan Kahn wrote a book that pointed to the fact that God, through the Bible, is the basis for what has transpired in world history since the beginning and will take us to the climax of human history when Jesus returns. That's already written down in the Bible, and fewer Christians seem to want to read it for study or devotional purposes. Too many within Christendom today are looking for ethereal spiritual experiences from many other sources. I am again reminded of my time spent within the charismatic movement years ago, as I've written about previously. It was far more exciting to seek after those who had a word of knowledge or who could tell us the new things God was doing than simply reading his word, or perhaps someone who's heard from God audibly or, you know, had something supernatural happen on the Sid Roth show. I'm picking on Sid Roth because he kind of sets the standard for weird, creepy, so-called, you know, supernatural events that God has done in some of his guests' lives. Anyway, further on in the article, it is also helpful to remember that Israel was created as a theocracy, with God as its ultimate ruler. Even though the people wanted a human king to sit on the throne, like their neighboring countries or empires, which was a lack of faith in God's ability to keep them secure, though he had proved it over and over, Israel was still a theocracy because the king would still answer to God, the King of Kings, as did the priests and high priest. The United States of America was never intended to be a theocracy. America did not start out even as a monarchy with a king. The United States of America is a constitutional republic, not a democracy, though we use the democratic process to elect public officials. Then he goes on to speak a little bit further down the page about dominionism. I remember now when I had read an earlier critique by this gentleman, he had also felt that Jonathan Kahn could really be tied to the Hebrew Roots movement, which I won't go into now. That was on an earlier podcast. You could check that out. But dominionism, of course, is becoming very, very popular. It's part of the New Apostolic Reformation movement, and there's other names for it. But anyway, let me just read what he says here. Dominionism is the belief that if Christians work hard enough to spread the gospel and turn people to Jesus, a domino effect will occur throughout society that will change America into a nation that glorifies God. I don't see this in Scripture at all. I see things getting worse and worse until the tribulation occurs, wreaking the worst persecution on earth that has ever been or will ever be. By the way, I concur with his views of eschatology on many points. This will be cut short by the physical return of Jesus, who will then set up his millennial kingdom, where he will rule with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. He will literally show the world how it is done. So really, with dominionism, you have the exact opposite view. You know, you have the view that if Christians work hard enough, we're more or less going to bring in the millennial for Christ. We're going to bring dominion over this world, and society, you know, and America as well will change. Again, as he says, I see things getting worse and worse, and I do too, and I think that's exactly what the Scripture teaches us, so that God doesn't give us a false hope in putting our hope here, because we're pilgrims and sojourners through this life. We're not to put, you know, we're to look for our eternal home, and we're just passing through down here, folks. So anyway, once again, an excellent article. He actually goes by, or I don't know if he goes by Modres, M-O-D-R-E-S. I don't know if those are initials as part of his name, or I need to find that out, because I do like this gentleman a lot. He has some really good things to say. But anyway, so that's a little review of the latest book by Jonathan Kahn. Now, other featured articles in this same magazine, there's one, Has God Forgotten Israel, by Michael Brown. And, you know, the last few podcasts we've been talking about Michael Brown and his really being an apologist and a supporter of these impartation revivals and such. Most noteworthy, the Pensacola revival, or not so much most noteworthy, but that was the one where he really became like the personal apologist and defender of that movement, although he's defended others of the same ilk. So to answer that question, has God forgotten Israel, that Michael Brown wrote? No, God hasn't. But, you know, I find it sad that there are people who identify as pro-Israel, but who are also teaching false teachings, some false teachings. There are word faith people and others, prosperity people, that also are pro-Israel. John Hagee has a kind of a weird view of the future of Israel that people mistake dispensationalists and people who support Israel, like myself, as being, you know, as though he's part of what we believe, and that's unfortunate. But anyway, it is sad that there's people who identify, you know, identify as pro-Israel, but who are teaching some false teachings unrelated to Israel. And of course, Michael Brown would be another one of those that would fall into that line, obviously, as he wrote that that article, because the gist of it, I'm pretty confident, was not, has God forgotten, you know, that God will forget Israel, because, well, anyway, I know he's pro-Israel. I support Israel, but I prefer being identified, this is my words myself here, I support Israel, but I prefer being identified with sound Bible prophecy teachers rather than those who mix truth with error. Now, another short other short articles in this same magazine by noteworthy heretics, people like Joyce Meyer, the Word Faith teacher, Mike Bickle, the IHOP leader and part of the New Apostolic Reformation, one of the false prophets, one of the former Kansas City prophets, the non-profit organization, I might add, James Goel, who's a favorite on the Elijah list, which is a online list of basically false prophets who can, you know, give you their latest prophecies for those, you know, who want to have their ears tickled or who need a good itching of their ears or whose ears are itching and they need them to have them scratched. Anyway, his article, believe it or not, is entitled, Can You Discern These Spirits? Well, my answer would be probably not, but I didn't even bother to read the article. I glanced over it, and, you know, I saw where he was coming from. And all I can really say to that is, give me a break. You know, can you discern these spirits? Discernment is not a strength of the authors in Charisma, if I haven't belabored that enough. Now, the October 17th issue, one of the feature stories in it, you know, among others, is an article by Bill Hayman. And Bill Hayman is also a leader in the belief that there are prophets today. He's actually a leading false prophet, among others. And, you know, I basically saw him in action on one of my mission trips when I was in the Philippines. I was walking down the road one day, and I saw this big sports auditorium filled with people, the Filipinos, and it was free. And I said, what's going on here? And I went in. And there was a guy, I actually at that time, I don't think I'd ever heard of him at that time, as I recall. It was many years ago. And there he was in action there with the people, the poor people in the Philippines. His article, feature article, was called God's World War III. And on page 46 of that article, he has this to say. Many ministers of past restoration movements faithfully preached the biblical truths that were restored. Okay, key word here, restoration movements, restored. Something needs to be restored, you know, like apostles and prophets and things like that. Okay, including those of their own restoration movement. Let me read that again. Many ministers of past restoration movements faithfully preached the biblical truths that were restored, including those of their own restoration movement. God is still restoring and doing new things in his church. And where have we heard that before? Actually, from that critique I just read, the people that are looking for God to do new things. Well, you know, he said Christ died on the cross and he cried out, it is finished. Okay, there's no more new things that God's doing, folks. He supplied all that we need for salvation, for spiritual growth, and by, you know, through his word and the Holy Spirit teaching us, and by the finished work of Christ. He goes on to say in this article, there are still scriptural truths to be restored and divine purposes that must be fulfilled before Jesus can return from earth. Now, I don't know if by that he means, you know, and I assume he probably does. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I would think that, of course, a lot of these truths are going to come and be restored through the restored offices of apostles and prophets and the revelations that they would bring, we poor people who only depend on the Word of God for our spiritual guidance. Now, further in the article, and on one of the pages, there's an ad for a a gathering, October 16th and 19th, was when this took place. And so I'm assuming it was in 2017. Or maybe it was later on in this year. It doesn't list the year, but that's irrelevant. It's called the Christian International Gathering of Apostles and Prophets. 50 years, it says. You know, it's a commemorative thing, I guess. It says, thousands will gather and celebrate. Will you learn how to become the army of God? God wants to raise you up to become a part of his spiritual end-time army. Enroll in our International Gathering Conference, and you will learn how to operate in gifts of discernment and prophecy and how to fight with the spiritual weapons of warfare God has given you. He goes on in the article to say, pastors and all fivefold ministers must now function as drill sergeants and generals who diligently train the saints to be soldiers who know how to fight as warriors in the army of our commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ our Lord. Our offensive weapons include the sword of the Spirit, the name of Jesus, high praises, the shout of faith, praying in tongues, prophetic acts, and praying and making apostolic decrees. Okay. He says, I have led numerous nations in warfare with the church's greatest corporate weapon, the shout of faith. And that's probably what was taking place, part of what was going on when I saw him down there in the Philippines, one of the numerous nations. Cindy Jacobs, also false prophets, prophesied, Dr. Bill, Jesus is commissioning you to be a five-star general in the army of the Lord. Then she goes on to quote Jeremiah, a real prophet, and I won't read all that, but I will just say that, you know, it's sad to me that, you know, here is a false prophet quoting a true prophet. And, you know, Jeremiah was rebuking the false prophets of his day. So I found that interesting. And so it says an online exclusive, Dr. Bill Hayman shares about the overflow of the Holy Spirit in this episode of Sid Roth's It's Supernatural. So that was a former program, you know, that Bill was on, and I think he would fit right in there on the Sid Roth program. It says, Dr. Bill Hayman has functioned as a prophet for over 60 years and has ministered to tens of thousands the Holy Spirit's gift of spirit language. He and the 3,000 ministers in his Christian International Network have trained more than 250,000 in prophetic ministry. Hayman is recognized as a pioneer and father in the restoration of prophets and the activation of saints in prophetic ministry. And all I can say is, you know, where are the Jeremiahs of today? We need more of them to help warn against deceivers that are at work. Now, that is just about it for today, time-wise. I will say that another article that was in this magazine was by Che On, the pastor of Harvest Rock Church, who was endorsed by Joel Osteen. His church was once located, unfortunately, at the U.S. Center for World Missions in Pasadena, and they later moved to they moved their cult to a former cult's property in Pasadena that was formerly Herbert W. Armstrong's Worldwide Church of God cult. So I see I'm out of time. There was another short article by Joyce Meyer in there, but we're out of time. Keep on looking up. We're going to look at the next magazine next week. God bless you all.